Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Today, I want to share with us an aspect of inheriting the kingdom of God, which Jesus Christ taught about. So, our text is going to be from Matthew chapter 25, and then verse 34 to 40. It says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom.'" Please underline, "inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in." Please underline, "stranger and you took me in." "I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Hallelujah. Now, I made it to underline the phrase, "inherit the kingdom." It was Jesus Christ who used this phrase. You don't see anybody using this phrase, "inherit the kingdom." It is only Jesus who initiated it, you know. And there are several ways of relating with the kingdom. I want us to briefly look at the ways by which we relate with the kingdom. There are four clear ways of relating with the kingdom of God as taught by our dearest Jesus. First of all, Jesus taught that we should seek it. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." So Jesus Christ said that the way we should relate with the kingdom of God is to seek it. The second way he said is to see it. See, S-double-E, is to see the kingdom. John chapter 3 verse 3. Or let's look at Colossians chapter 3 before we come to John chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and then verse 1 following. That speaks to the fact that we should seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Apart from what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 directly, the Holy Ghost also inspired Apostle Paul to write to believers to seek the kingdom. To seek means to search for or look for, all right? So Colossians 3:1 says that, "If then you were risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." If you are risen with Christ, you are seated in the heavenly places, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Of course, you're also seated at the right hand of God with Jesus Christ. So he says that seek those things which are above. All right. In other words, we should seek the kingdom. Verse 2, "Set your affection on things above." He's just breaking down the seeking. And he says that set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is alive, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. All right. So he is telling us that we should seek the wonderful things in the kingdom of God above. What does it mean? This scripture, what does it mean? Because sometimes we think that it means that we should not think about anything on earth. Shouldn't think about people who are suffering, you know. We should not think about how humanity, the life of humanity can be lifted. We shouldn't think about it. Lifting the dignity of people created in the image of God. Not living in slums. Not barely getting along, emaciated body. Some people think that seeking the things which are above means that we shouldn't think about anything which is on earth. And we should always be thinking about going to heaven. Is that what the scripture is talking about? The scripture is teaching us that you should seek the things which are above. Where are you seeking it? Or what are you seeking it for? That's the question. What are you seeking it for? After all, you go to heaven temporarily, of course. So what are you seeking it for? He says, or he's teaching us that we should seek the things which are above to be replicated on this earth. Hallelujah. So you seek the peace of heaven to be on earth. You seek the prosperity of heaven to be on earth. You seek the pleasures of heaven to be on earth. You know, you seek the presence that heaven enjoys to be on earth. Talking about the presence of God, which is all over heaven, seek that it also fills the air. That is what the scripture is teaching us. Hallelujah. So there is a brand of things in heaven that God wants that it is replicated here on earth. You must not forget that in the very beginning, God wanted to extend his heavenly kingdom. So what he did was that he created the earth, physical earth, as an extension of his heavenly kingdom. And then he created a physical being called man as an extension of himself, so that his heavenly kingdom will be replicated on earth through mankind. We will just be like God ruling the earth just as God rules heaven. Of course, we are ruling the earth on behalf of God and in the interest of God, not in our personal interest. Hallelujah. So when he is saying to us we should seek the things which are above, he is telling us that we should seek that those things which are above are found on the earth. That is his eternal purpose for the earth. That is why ultimately, when Jesus Christ comes again in the second coming, he is going to bring God's kingdom on this earth. He is going to rule on this earth, because God's mind has always been that his heavenly kingdom will be replicated on this earth. And Jesus is going to bring the full maturation of what we are doing now. He is going to bring it to maturity, or to a full-blown status, when he comes in the second coming. So the scripture said, when Christ, who is alive, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. We will also be glorified, and we will rule with him actually in the kingdom future, which is not far away. Hallelujah. It's powerful. So Jesus taught for us to seek the kingdom. Now let's go to John chapter 3 verse 3. The other way of relating with the kingdom is to do what? Is to see it. To see it. John chapter 3 and then verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born again is a state. It's a state that makes you to see the kingdom of God. It's a state that makes you to see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So God wants us to see the kingdom. He wants us to have a revelation of the kingdom. And he puts us in a certain condition that will enable us to have a revelation of the kingdom. All right? And that state is called born again. So born again is for a purpose. The purpose, as you can see, is that you will do what? You will have a revelation of the kingdom. Because humans in themselves cannot have a revelation of the kingdom. There are mysteries of the kingdom that are hidden from men's eyes. But God reveals it to his born again people. So one of the reasons why God wants people to be born again, humans who are unbelievers, he wants them born again, is because he wants them to see the kingdom, have a revelation of the kingdom. Because it is only when you have a revelation of the kingdom that you can bring it about here on earth. Hallelujah. That is why if you get born again, God doesn't take you away, because his real aim, one of his real aim, is that get born again so that you can see the kingdom and then seek what you see so that it becomes replicated here on earth. Don't ever forget that the ultimate aim of God is to bring his heavenly kingdom on this earth. Actually, if you read the scriptures, God is going to move his headquarters from heaven and bring it down here on earth. It's powerful. His throne is going to be relocated to this place called the earth. And that is his eternal purpose. It's important for us never to lose the big picture. You see, because if you lose the big picture, you will think that the steps to the big picture is the real deal. And when you get the steps, you will stop at that place. But there is a reason for being born again. It's very important to be born again. John 3:3 says that Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you don't get born again, you can't have that revelation of the kingdom." All right. So being born again is to give us, among other things, a revelation of the kingdom of God so that we can seek it and replicate it. Now, that's the second way of relating with the kingdom. The third way Jesus taught that we should relate with the kingdom is to enter it. Enter it is in John chapter 3 and then verse 5. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So God's kingdom is to be entered, not just sought, not just seen, but is to be entered. To enter the kingdom is just talking about experiencing the kingdom. The kingdom of God is to be experienced. When you enter into something, you enter into a service. It's a phrase that is teaching you or telling you that you are experiencing the service, the church service. You have entered into it. If you enter, let's enter into worship, it means that let's experience worship. Let's practically practice worship. We want to enter into a worship session. It means that we should, or we want to practically worship. So when Jesus said that you should enter the kingdom, he's talking about practically experience the kingdom. So you seek it, you see it, or you have a revelation of it, and then what? You experience it. You enter it. The last way, the fourth way of relating with the kingdom of God, as Jesus taught, is in our text. What he said, that we should inherit the kingdom. Then he will say to those, the king will say to those on his right hand, that's Matthew 25 verse 34. He said to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom." This time he didn't say seek the kingdom or see the kingdom or enter the kingdom. He is using another way of relating with the kingdom. He says inherit the kingdom. Inherit the kingdom. And that is really what I'm teaching us about, an aspect of inheriting the kingdom. Because Jesus Christ taught six or so practical ways by which we will inherit the kingdom. Six practical ways of inheriting the kingdom. What did he say? He said, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Those are six direct physical things that will make you inherit the kingdom of God. Now somebody says, "Pastor, what is inheriting the kingdom?" At least we understand seeking the kingdom. All right. It means you should have a desire for the kingdom. Have a desire for the kingdom. Seeing the kingdom, I've explained, right? Entering the kingdom, we understand. Now, what is inheriting the kingdom? Inheriting the kingdom is enjoying the kingdom. Enjoying the kingdom of God. It's wonderful. In other words, you see, do you know that you can have something and not enjoy? It's true. You can have something and not enjoy. Have you read the book of Ecclesiastes where the Bible says that God has blessed the person who has a lot of riches, and God blesses him with the ability to enjoy it? Because you can have riches but not enjoy it. You can have the kingdom but not enjoy it. I tell you, there are many believers who are not enjoying the kingdom. They are not enjoying the kingdom. Of course, inheriting the kingdom or enjoying the kingdom is the highest way of relating with the kingdom. It's the ultimate way of relating with the kingdom of God. You know, inheriting the kingdom is where the kingdom of God is not just at your beck and call. When I say the kingdom of God, all throughout this teaching. I'm talking to you about the royalty, the rule, and the realm of God.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
The kingdom of God is made up of three, as in the Trinity, the royalty, the rule, and the realm of God. God brings about His royalty into your life. Jesus Christ brings about His rule, the rule of God into our lives. And the Holy Spirit brings about the realm of God on this earth. He gives us an atmosphere, an arrangement of heaven on this earth. So the triune God brings about this threefold nature of the kingdom. All right. Now, the practical realization of the kingdom is through three things: through the person, the principles, and the performance of Jesus. God, in His bid, the triune God, in their bid to let this earth retaste the kingdom of God, which the earth began with, sent Jesus. And by His person and by His principles, or what He stood for and taught, and by His performance on the cross, on earth and on the cross for us, we are able to realize the royalty, the rule, and the realm of God here on earth. Hallelujah. So, inheriting the kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, is where the kingdom of God, the royalty, rule, and realm of God, is not just at your beck and call, but it's at your unspoken desire. I told you it's the highest way of relating with the kingdom. In other words, in inheriting the kingdom, you don't necessarily pray it. You just desire it. And it happens. It's desire-based. God wants us to get to the place where we would desire that something happens. And that is a good thing, of course, happens. And without even praying it, the kingdom, the things in the kingdom, the beings in the kingdom ensures that you receive this desire in such a way that as soon as you desire it, it's fulfilled. As soon as you desire it, it's fulfilled. As soon as you desire it, it's fulfilled. That's a highway of relating with the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's not everything. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. This is the ultimate, so it may be very difficult for some of you to take it. But the ultimate of God is for us, for Him to answer the desires of our heart, not our prayers. Listen carefully. The desires of our heart. Now, you can pray out of your desire. Oh Lord, I desire that You give me this. I pray that You give me $100 million. All right. I desire that You bless me with such an influence or something like that. And God answers your prayer. But I'm saying to us that there is a level, there is a dimension of relating with the kingdom where only your desire is enough. Because you are so enjoying the kingdom. The kingdom is just right behind you in such a way that they move at your desire. That is where you are enjoying the thing. In fact, over there, your works, your efforts doesn't come in. Your efforts doesn't come in. It's just a desire you must have. And you see that the desire comes to pass. How many of us wants to live such a wonderful life? I want to live that life. Because sometimes we ask God for things. We ask God for things. And when God does it for us, sometimes human as we are, we think that, well, you see, because Pastor, I prayed much, because I fasted. You see, these things, they are moved by these things, you know, powerful. And sometimes, human as we are, it's not a bad thing to ask for. God wants us to do that. But you see, the limitation with that one is that sometimes you feel that You did something. It's because you fasted. It's because of how nice your life is. That's why God did it. But inheriting the kingdom has nothing to do with you at all, into inverted commas. It's more about your desire. You know, when we say that somebody has inherited something, like if my child inherits me, it means that the child doesn't do anything. He inherits my property. He doesn't do it. He didn't work for it. I worked day and night. I had sleepless night. And I came up with all of the things that I have. And then he just got it by virtue of relationship with me. Yeah. He just inherited it without working anything out. He's just enjoying the thing. He's just enjoying my car. He's just enjoying my house. He's just enjoying my name and things like that. He didn't do anything about it. Inheriting the kingdom is enjoying the kingdom. Enjoying the kingdom. Wow, it's such a powerful thing. Jesus gave an example of it. He said to the apostles in, Matthew or Luke 22? Somewhere. He said that with desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you. And I will not eat it with you until I eat it new with you in the kingdom. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing. You know, but over there, Jesus Christ is emphasizing desire. How our desire alone is enough for the heavenly kingdom who are backing us to move to fulfill our unspoken desire. You remember when God wanted to bring, make Saul king in Israel? You remember God just fulfilled the unspoken desire of Saul. He went around looking for his father's donkeys and the prophet Samuel called him and said, "Oh, the donkeys are found. Don't worry and all that. And I am going to tell you what is in your heart." You know, and what was in the heart of Saul was that he wanted to be king. But it was something he had not spoken to anybody. It was an unspoken desire. But God heard that thing. And he said that, "I am going to do what you have not spoken to me about in your heart." Bringing about kinship. It's just a shadow form of teaching us to know that we can come to a place of inheriting the kingdom of God right now through even our unspoken desires. Let's read some scriptures about these things from Psalm 10 and then verse 16 to 17. You know, David was somebody who was after God's heart, or if you like, God's mind. I've told you that God's heart has always been to bring his kingdom here on earth. That is why David was his ideal king. And the rule of David is actually one of the shadow forms of the kingdom of God that we are enjoying right now. David was a prophet, priest, and king. And it's only Jesus Christ, apart from David, who was a prophet, priest, and king. David was one of the best types of Jesus Christ in the Bible. And his rule was one of the rules that foreshadowed our era, the kingdom system that Jesus Christ was bringing. Psalm 10, verse 16 to 17. The Bible says, "The Lord is king forever and ever." The Lord is king forever and ever. So, you know, he's talking about his kingdom. He is king forever and ever. "The nations have perished out of his hand. Lord, you have heard me." "Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear." All right. So he says that, "Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart." That is where God gives you a desire. You know, he gives you a desire. He prepares your heart. He gives that desire to you. And he hears the desire of the humble in bringing about his kingdom on earth. Look at Psalm 92 verse 11. Psalm 92 verse 11. "My eyes also have seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me." David didn't say, my eyes have seen my prayers on my enemies, you know, "and my ears hear my prayers on the wicked who rise up against me." He's talking about his desire. His desire. The emphasis is on his desire. How many of us Look at Proverbs 10:24. How many of us will want to see the desires that we have fulfilled upon our enemies? In other words, as for your enemy, what is your stance with your enemy? What is your stance with your enemy? What did Jesus Christ teach us about our enemies, relating with our enemies? He says that we should what? Pray for them, wish them well. Wonderful. Wish them well. Say, pray for those who hate you. So I say to you, love your enemies. And so the Bible, let's put that in this Old Testament scripture. Our seeing our desires upon our enemies is what? Our wishing that our enemies, they come to know the Lord. It's like, like Jesus prayed on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. As seeing our desires fulfilled on our enemies. It's a powerful thing. That is where you are enjoying the kingdom without any effort at all. He prepares your heart, gives you the desire, and then he himself comes and fulfills the desires of your heart. This is inheriting the kingdom. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 24, I think it tells us that the desire of the righteous is going to be fulfilled or satisfied. Right, the desire of the righteous will be granted. He didn't say the prayer of the righteous will be granted. Don't misunderstand. Your prayers will be granted, but here it's talking about the desire of the righteous will be fulfilled or satisfied. Hallelujah! It's wonderful. So, I want us to look at some things that out of desire. Listen very carefully to me. Out of desire, you are going to fulfill these six things that Jesus Christ spoke about. It is purely going to be a desire that is going to be worked in you by God. And out of that desire, you are going to go into doing some physical things. And those physical things is going to give you what? The kingdom as an inheritance. Do you understand? Jesus said in our text that because I was hungry and you fed me, because I was sick and you clothed me, and you came to me, because I was naked and you clothed me, because I was in prison and you came to me, therefore inherit the kingdom. So it is these six things that makes us to do what? Enjoy the kingdom practically on it. So those six things, if you can look at it carefully, they are very physical, very practical, because they are supposed to bring into your life a practical realization of God's kingdom on this earth, not just at your beck and call, but at your heart's desire. So these six things are going to be propelled by a certain desire God is going to work in your life. I'm teaching us this so that if you get to just see some desires at work in you, put it in a spiritual kingdom context and have the kingdom of God back you to see these things fulfilled practically on this earth. And they lift up the dignity of human beings, you know, because they are very practical and they are very physical. One that I want to talk to you about is accommodating strangers. Accommodating strangers. We need to talk about this because in this day and age, people are, should I say, even allergic to strangers. We are allergic to strangers. We don't want to see any stranger, you know. You don't want to see any strange things. But look at Matthew 25 verse 35c. Jesus said, I was a stranger and you took me in. Some of us, God is going to build in us a certain desire to accommodate strangers. Ladies and gentlemen, don't think that that desire is coming from the devil. Because how can I have a desire to accommodate strangers? You know, sometimes we have these desires inside of us, and because we don't understand the spirituality of what God is working in us, we say that, but true, it is in my heart to accommodate strangers. But look, we are living in a modern world. In this world, people you don't know, you know, ISO, those of you who know, people you don't know, you don't tell them anything. You don't accommodate them. You see? You don't bring them around you. that the world has become very strange, especially as we are getting digitized by the day. And cyber security is increasing by the day. Hey, you want to be careful. You want to handle every information on need-to-know basis. You don't want to divulge anything to anybody. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to relate with anybody, especially people who are strange. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.